He's worthy of a lot more than that pretty patty cake thing. Isn't that right? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, how many of you got your Bibles with you? Hallelujah. Can you hold them up? Take them around. Make the devil mad. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's say our little confession we haven't said in a while. This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. And I have what it says I have. And I can do what this book says I can do. By the promises of this book, I partake of God's divine nature. And I overcome every foe. In Jesus' name. Amen. You need to say that until you believe it. If you already believe it, then keep saying it. Amen, because it'll enforce what you believe. But it's important, you know, what the Bible says. If you have it there, turn to Matthew chapter 6. How many of you know that Jesus said, my house shall be a house of prayer? How many of you know that you are the house of God individually? Isn't that right? Of course, corporately we are too, but individually we are the house of God. It's not this building you see here. This building is just a convenience for the house of God to meet in. So we're not out in the elements. But it's just the building. It's been all kinds of things. If the Lord tarries, it may be something else. It's just a building. But you and I, we are the habitation of God. We are the church of the living God. We are lively stones being built up. Amen. A habitation of God. And so I want to share some things about a little bit about prayer over the next, I don't know, ever how long it takes us to get through it, two or three sessions anyway. And I want to look at what we commonly have referred to as the Lord's Prayer. It's really the model prayer, but most of us have probably learned it or heard of it and called the Lord's Prayer, because the disciples obviously had seen Jesus as an example, had seen him get up and go out and pray. And obviously they'd been in his presence when he prayed and they heard him pray. And they had said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so in doing that and talking about that, Jesus began to instruct them and he gave them what we call the Lord's Prayer or the model prayer. And it starts in verse 9, Matthew 6, verse 9. He said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now we know that prayer, and we probably have quoted that prayer and said it in unison and everything. But I want us to delve into that to understand a little bit deeper, gain a little bit deeper understanding of what Jesus was really trying to teach us. He wasn't trying to teach us something that we all were to commit to rote memorization and parrot it back, our Father which art in heaven. I mean, nothing wrong with that. But that's very sterile, very, very dry, you know, and it was not the full intention of what Jesus had in mind here. He was giving us an understanding that when we come in prayer, that there was a great vista of understanding and opportunity that was open to us who have been invited to come in to the presence of God in prayer. And the first thing is the acknowledgement of this and the understanding of this is that when I pray, I am praying to and meeting with my Father. Hallelujah. Boy, I already can tell this is going to go good. Isn't that right? Man, you talk about, you know, some godly nepotism going on here. Man, I'm getting to pray and I'm praying to the Father. And He is my Father. And if you're a believer, in Jesus Christ, then He is your Father too. And this is the first thing Jesus wants us to understand as people of God, as we come to God in prayer, is that to have this image in our heart and in our mind that God is our Father. Now, you know, you can tell when people are praying whether or not they understand this. Man, you go and you hear some people, you know, and they pray and they, you know, oh, great God who inhabitest the highest places, thou art great and mighty and thou art the God of, you know, and you know, they don't understand God's our Father. I mean, could you imagine if you're a child and your father's alive and you went in and started addressing your father like that? If my kids did that, I'd think something was wrong with them. What happened to you? Did you fall down the stairs? Did you hit your head? What's going on? You don't talk like that, do you? No, he's Father. Man, I have, you know, now I think sometimes we pray like that because we haven't known him as Father. We see him as way off the great God who had that. But here's the thing, if we've experienced him as Father, if we have a relationship with him as Daddy, Father, turn, if you will, turn to Romans chapter 8. Now, hold your place there in Matthew, but turn over in Romans 8. Let's look what the Apostle Paul is speaking here in verse 15. Notice what he said. He's talking about coming to God. He says here in 8:15, I'm going to read this out of the New Living Testament. I like the way it reads it. He says, so you should not be like cowering, fearful slaves. You should behave instead like God's very own children. Oh boy, I like that. Adopted into his family, calling him Father, dear Father. Oh, hallelujah. Don't you like that? He said, God's not wanting you to come in all afraid. Oh, I've done everything just right. Oh God, I didn't do this and I didn't do that and I should have done this and I didn't. Oh. You know, he said, don't come that way. He said, don't come like a cowering slave. He said, you come in to the presence of God knowing what? That he is dear Father. The word there, Abba, that's translated Abba in the King James, literally means daddy. When it says here, dear Father, we say daddy, daddy. And so here's the thing. When we come, he said, first of all, understand. He said, if you want to pray, then know this. First of all, understand that there is a relationship that prayer comes out of. And it comes out of a relationship of not the great God way up in heaven, but it is Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, dear Father, as children, as children. And he said here is adopted children. You know, how many of you know you can't help what family you're born into? We all got stories we could tell about that, huh? And probably if we got siblings, they probably would laugh about us too, wouldn't they? But here's the thing, you know, you can't help that. But you know, adoption's something different, isn't it? Adoption is a choice. And he says here, he said, of course, we know we're born again, but also he says it's because what? Our daddy chose us. He chose you. And so here's the thing, if we're going to be people who can pray and touch God and make a difference, not only in our lives, but in the lives of those around us, the first thing we're going to have to understand, Jesus said, is you're going to have to understand that he is Father. And you've got to cultivate a father relationship with him. Amen. That is, that what? You've got to get into his presence. You've got to understand that God wants the very best for you. That God's not out to get you. That God's out to help you. That God's out to elevate you. That God's out to help you fulfill all his good plan. That God's out to help you reach your maximum potential. That all of these things have to do with a father's heart toward you. See, many times Christians who don't understand that, they go to God in prayer as if they got to talk God into doing something. You know, I'm going to talk God into blessing me. I'm going to talk God into to healing me. I'm going to talk God into helping me in, through this situation. But here's the thing. When you go to Daddy, you know this. If Daddy can, he will. And the thing about it is, when we go to this Daddy, he can. He can. So we don't even have to come with that. We know, since we know he can and we know he's willing, we can come to him, what? With a heart of love, with a heart of faith, with a heart that's open, knowing that God's great heart, his father heart, is already yearning to meet our need. Hallelujah. Boy, you know what? Once we get a hold of that, that ought to make some more kind of praying people out of us. That not only God can, but He will. He wants to. And many times, we got to be honest. If we are honest with ourselves, the reason God hasn't is we haven't allowed Him to. We haven't asked Him to. We haven't come to Him as a father. Amen? As an Abba Father. So the first thing He says in here, He says, you've got to understand this. Our Father. My Father. He's my dad. My dad's going to take care of me. My dad's going to meet my needs. My dad's going to heal my body. My dad's going to bring me out of confusion. My dad's going to deliver me from every disappointment. My dad is going to renew hope in me. My dad has got great things in store for me. He's got a good plan for me. He's my daddy. You say, yeah, but I had my old dad was an alcoholic and was a drunk and abused us. Well, I got news for you. You get rid of that old picture. We're not talking about your earthly daddy. We're talking about your heavenly father. Your heavenly father. He will never abuse you or use you or misuse you. He'll never do it. I don't care what anybody tells you. I don't care what they tell on Father God. I'm going to tell you, once you get to know Him, you know it's a lie. I told people, you know, if all the thank God, don't misunderstand me, thank God for all the promises of God. I'm so glad God wrote them down. But here's the thing. You get to know God as Father, and there would be things, if it wasn't written down, I'd still know He'd do it. Are you listening to me? You got any dads in here? Any fathers? Have you written down everything and handed it to your kids and say, okay, now these are all the things I'll do? If you have, you're different from the rest of us. No. We don't do that, do we? But yet our kids know, if they know us, they know we either will or we won't, depending on how they know us. Isn't that true?
Right.
So here's the thing. Once I get to know the Father God, thank God for the promises. Again, don't misunderstand me. But you know, if they weren't all written down, I'd still know He wanted me well. I'd still want He know me. He wants me to be happy, to be blessed, to be prosperous. He wants me to be fulfilled. I would still know that. Why? Because I know Him. I know His heart. I know His love. I know His goodness. I know His character. I know His power. I know His divine ability. I fellowship with Him. I know He loves me. I know He cares. Our Father. My Father. So that's the starting place. And if you want prayer to be more than just a ritual, just something you go through, just a religious chore, you're going to have to, first of all, have that relationship with Him that is my Father. My Father. My Father. Because otherwise, you cannot go with any reasonable expectation. Why should God do anything for you? Isn't that true? But Father, that's different. Father's different. Fathers are there even when you mess up. Fathers are there even when you didn't do it just right. Fathers are there with unconditional love. Isn't that right? And of course, what? We get our fatherhood from the Father in heaven, don't we? Listen, you see somebody misusing and abusing their kids. Listen, they're not emulating the fatherhood of God. God's not out killing His kids. God's not out killing anybody. Are you listening to me? But here's the thing. If we want to have a rich prayer life, He said, this is where it starts. My Father. So I want to ask you this morning, do you know Him as Father? Or is He just some great, big, all-powerful, omnipotent, omniscient, and all those things are true? God way up in heaven. You know, used to, you know, in Pentecost full gospel circles years ago, don't hear it as much today. Depends on where you're at. But they used to say, we're going to bombard the gates of heaven. And I always wondered why, because the gates are open. And, you know, God's on the throne. It didn't say He was at the gate. Amen. I mean, you know what? We got that idea. We got to storm the gates of heaven. Why? God's not keeping you out. Isn't that right? Didn't He say, come boldly? Don't we have an invitation? He said, come boldly to the throne. You just at the gate. What you doing hanging around the gate? Come to the throne. Isn't that right? That's where the Father is. So we get all those attitudes, those religious, wrong attitudes, and they build that thing of we're not worthy and we're no good and God shouldn't do anything and all that kind of thing. But when it's Daddy, oh, hallelujah. I can climb up on Daddy's lap. I don't care if I just fell in the ditch and scraped my knee. I'm camping here too long. Maybe I need to. Some of y'all need to have a remembrance of that He is Father. Isn't that right? Turn one more scripture and then we're going to have to move on from this. Ephesians 2. Because this is, I know this is kindergarten here, but it looks like some of you needed to go back. And it's good to be reminded, isn't it? I don't care how simple it may be, both naturally and especially with God, no matter how basic, how simple it may be, it's still the most profound, deepest, and greatest truth and thing you'll ever experience. Unconditional love. Oh, man. I thank God I've been loved for many years, but you know what? I still want it. I still like it. I still have to have it. And here's the thing. You get that settled. Your prayers will work better. Your faith will work better. You'll have more peace. You'll have more joy if you just get that one basic thing down. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 17. We'll go with 17. He says, He came and preached peace to you who are far away and peace to those who were near. For through Him, Jesus, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. We have access to the Father. You know, all that means is you can come and talk to Dad anytime you want to. Anytime, the day, the night, doesn't matter. He's never too busy. He's never too preoccupied. He's never got too much on His plate. He's always ready. His ear is open. His heart is ready. He hadn't run out of, Brother Copeland and Sister Myers, they hadn't drained off all His power. He's still got plenty of power for you. Amen. He's still got plenty going for you. Amen. He says, by Him, Jesus, we have access. You have access. You say, yeah, but I just don't feel worthy and all that. Well, we're going to talk about that next. But here's the thing. He's your Father. Your Father. And then Jesus said, He said, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed. Now that sounds so deep, doesn't it? Hallowed. Especially if you say hallowed. You know, it sounds so theological. But you know, the word hallow there just means it's we should reverence, we should honor, we should esteem, we should value the name of our Father. And I want to talk about this with the few minutes we got left. Turn back over to Psalm 103 because I want to read something there. Now, you know, God is so big that He had to simplify His name and just say, I am that I am. But we will see throughout the Scriptures how our Father has revealed Himself in all His redemptive aspects, His nature. And those names represent not only what He has done for us, but what He is willing to do for us. Amen? Now, used to, people took a lot more care when they were naming even their child. And especially when you look in the Bible and biblical references, names had very great importance. They didn't just name people casually. God didn't just give Himself a name casually. It reveals something about who He was, about His heart, His will, His purpose, His character. It revealed all these aspects about Him. So here in Psalm 103, verse 1, He says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my inmost being. Praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. And when Jesus said, hallow, reverence, honor, esteem his name. This is what he's saying. He says, remember the name of the Lord your God. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at some of the redemptive names that God has revealed himself to us through the scriptures, revealing to us that this is a name that we should reverence, that we should honor. Because in these names, the redemptive names that he reveals to us, we will see the very heart, the very nature, and the very, if you will, manifestations of the unconditional love of our Father. He said, don't forget all his benefits. Notice he said, who forgives all your sins. One of the redemptive names of God is a name that's revealed. It's called Jehovah Tsidkenu. It means Jehovah our righteousness. Hallelujah. Your Father has become your righteousness. Come on. Listen, don't we know this? Isn't this should be foundational? That Jesus, when he died for our sins, didn't he? Didn't he take our sins upon himself at Calvary? Didn't he pay the price and the penalty for those sins that separated us from God, that put us under the judgment and wrath of God? Amen? He paid for that. And in revealing our righteousness, what did God reveal about himself? He revealed this, that he wanted you close to him. See, if God brought you close to him before the penalty of your sins and my sins had been paid for, we would have been crispy critters. Not because God's a meanie. It's because of the nature of God. The Bible says this, trying to describe God. And how many know it's very difficult to describe somebody as big as God in human terms? But one of the descriptions was this, that our God is a consuming fire. One of the prophets saw him and he described him this way. God is a fire from the loins up and from the loins down. He just like fire. What is that? That's the glory, the holiness, the purity of Almighty God. And he saw it. It manifested. It looked like fire. And here's the thing. Anything unclean that came into the presence of that holy glory and fire of God, it was just consumed. It wasn't because God was mad or something. It just was consumed. Yeah. It's the nature of fire. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. You know, you get too close to fire, what will it do to you? Well, fire didn't have any malicious intent. It's just burning. And so the same thing was true about you and I. But Jesus said, he said, reverence this fact that God wanted to bring us close. Therefore, he sent Jesus. He revealed himself as the Lord God who makes us righteous. And if you are a believer, if you put your faith in Jesus, I want you to know something, that you have been made righteous. Now, I know if you go by your feelings, you think, Lord of mercy, if the pastor only knew. Listen, it doesn't matter what the pastor knows. God knows. And God says, if you put your faith in Jesus, he said, I'm going to forgive all your sins. I'm not going to remember them anymore. He said, I'm going to cast them in the sea of forgetfulness. He said, I will not remember your iniquities anymore. And I count you as righteous with my God's righteousness. Now, you can't get any more righteous than God's righteousness. Isn't that right? In Jeremiah 23, you don't have to turn there. I'm going to read it to you, verse 6. God is speaking here. And I want to read this, just this one verse to you. He said, a king will reign wisely and do what is just and right in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved. And Israel will live in safety. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Turn over and let's read in 2 Corinthians, the New Testament version of that, if you will. In 2 Corinthians, we probably all know this, but let's read it again because I like it. I hope you do too. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. God made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him, Jesus, we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. The righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. The righteousness of God. So when Jesus said, we come to the Father, he says, and we are understanding this, we're coming into the presence of God. Number one, he is our Father. Number two, we're coming to our Father who desired to have fellowship with us. So much so that he sent his only begotten Son. So much so that his Son bore our sins. He was made to be sin for. So much so that God has imputed and given to me his very own righteousness, so that now I can come into God's presence without fear, without judgment, without wrath, without being consumed. I can come and have fellowship with my Father. Now remember, Jesus, the model of prayer, Jesus is teaching us about prayer. He says, our Father, Daddy, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed, reverenced, we reverence your name. You are Jehovah Sidkin. You've made me righteous. You've made me righteous. You know what? Too often in the church, we've gotten an unbiblical view of ourselves. Thank you for the enthusiasm. Oh, you know, and we even sung songs for years talking about, you know, here we are, I'm just a worm. Well, I didn't see where God said he sent Jesus to die for worms. Here's the thing. I might could kind of buy that, you know, if you're B.C. You know what B.C. is? Before Christ. But here's the thing. If we are in Christ Jesus now, if we're saved, are you telling me that God saved you and left you a worm? God saved you and left you a sinner? See, we got to be careful. You know, I think the intent of our heart was right, but, you know, our understanding and our knowledge was poor. You know, we heard this, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, listen, you either are a sinner or you're a saint. You can't be both. You can't be both. Now, all our testimony is this, we were all sinners. But all of us that got saved, we got saved by grace. And now that we're saved by grace, I'm in Christ Jesus. And if I'm in Christ Jesus, then I've been made righteous. Amen. I didn't do it. God did it. So I'm not going to tell God he didn't do it right. I mean, if you want to do that, go ahead. You know, he's still going to love you, but he's going to thank and bless her heart or bless his heart. But we need to understand this, that he is our righteousness. God's not mad at you anymore. God's not out to get you anymore. God's not, you know, if you miss it, God's not going to pull up all those past 10 billion mistakes you made in the past and say, yeah, just add that one to the list. He ain't got no list. He did away with the list. The blood of Jesus expunged the list. You know, in the days when Paul lived and Jesus and so forth, in the Roman court of law, when you went there and you, they would have a writ, you know, a list of the charges that would be read out when they held court there in a Roman court of law, and those charges would be brought against you. And then when judgment was passed and you were found guilty, when they locked you up, they would nail those charges to the door of that prison. So anybody that went by, whether it be the guards or whoever it was, they could read there and they knew exactly why you were in that prison. But the Bible teaches us in Colossians 2, Paul uses this metaphor by the Spirit. He said, but the blood of Jesus didn't just come by and yank down the writ. Now when you look where those charges are written, it's a blank piece of paper. You can't tell anything was ever written on it. Are you listening? Our Father which art in heaven. Then he said, bless the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all his benefits. What? Who forgiveth all thy iniquities. Man, he is the Father. And you know what? The Father's heart has not changed. If you miss it as a believer, he's not suddenly out to get you. You know, sometimes we have to be careful. You know, sometimes as believers, you know, we talk about unconditional love to the sinner. Oh, God's not mad at you. God can forgive anything. God can save anybody. Oh, God can do. But as soon as you get saved and you miss it, man, that's it. You're out. We'll go run talk about them. Tell everybody about how so-and-so missed it. Come on. Boy, it gets quiet in here and you go in this direction, doesn't it? Is he a different father now? Does he love us less that we're his children than he did when we were sinners? No. 1,000 times no. Paul made this statement by the Holy Ghost. He said, if God gave us Jesus while we were yet sinners, how much more now that we belong to him will he not freely give us everything? Everything. Everything. Say everything.
Everything.
Glory to God. Isn't that good? You say, well, then how come I don't have everything? Well, maybe you need to go and examine and see, what is your image of God? Is he your father? Or is he some big, religious God way off somewhere that doles out blessings through an eyedropper? Come on. Oh, yeah. I've been criticized because I talk about how big God is and how all he wants to bless you. And then people criticize you about it. I want to tell them, don't criticize me. Don't blame me because God's so good. Talk to God. He's the one decided to be good. Amen. He's the one decided. I'm not going to be a far off God. Listen, this is a word for somebody. Listen, God don't want to be your far off father. He doesn't want to be an absentee father. Listen, he doesn't want to be an absentee father. That's not who he is. And if you're feeling that way, it could be that you're the one that's moved, not him. Maybe there's hurts and things from your earthly father. You know, we all probably to some degree, more or less, have some things where we were hurt by our earthly father. Because I've never met a perfect earthly father yet. Have you? I'm pretty close, but I hadn't met one yet. Y'all were getting real serious there. I had to lighten it up. No, I haven't met one yet. Have you? And so sometimes, you know, when we try to relate to the earthly father, there's those hindrances that come back up in our emotions because we're thinking about, well, man, I'll tell you what, the only thing I know about a father is how he abandoned us, how he misused my mom, how he beat us, how everything was hard because he was mean. Maybe he drank, maybe he did this or that or run around or whatever. I got news for you this morning. I'm talking to you if that's you. Listen, God Almighty, your heavenly father, he wants you to know he's not an absentee father. He's not going to abuse you. He's not going to misuse you. He is not that type of father. He's a father that loves unconditionally. He's a father that wants to draw you close to himself. That's the reason he sent Jesus. If he wanted to be far off, listen, all he had to do was just not send Jesus. You know, I've met people, you know, and they go around, even Christians sometimes go around under this, you know, it's like a fear or an anxiety. They just know they're waiting for the hammer to fall. You know what I mean by that? Boy, they just know, uh-oh, I know it's coming. It's coming. It's coming. I'm just waiting for it. I know it's going to come. You know, and we've got that expectancy and that viewpoint about God that, the hammer is going, oh, anytime now it's going to fall. But I got news for you. Listen, every time Jesus touched somebody, they got better. They didn't get worse. Are you listening to me? They didn't get worse. They got better. Every time you get around your father, every time you come to your father in prayer, in his presence, listen, you're going to be better, not worse off. You're going to be better, not worse off. He's going to make you whole. You're going to be more whole. He's not going to make you sicker. He's not going to bind you up. He's not waiting for you to just do something wrong so he can squash you like a bug. Listen, if God was out to get us, honey, he's had plenty of chances. Isn't that true? Man, he's had plenty of chances. So Jesus, and you know, when Jesus said this, and I have to close, My time's up. It was revolutionary when Jesus said, here's how you pray, our Father. Because you know what they were accustomed to? There was a temple, and it had three different courts or compartments, if you will, areas. And there was the outer court, and in the outer court, all there was a remembrance of sin, because that's where the sacrifices were made. That's where the blood was shed. And you know what it declared? Judgment. I'm guilty. I'm no good. I need forgiveness. I've missed it. Every time the sheep bleated, the cow bayed, it declared that. That's what they knew. And then just a select few of the priest who heard Jesus knew a little bit more, that you could go into that second area where there was the showbread and the candlestick, you know, the golden candlestick and the incense and so forth. But only one in all the nation of Israel, only one person knew what it was like to go into the presence of God, the high priest. So here he is, he's talking to a nation, they don't know anything. This is as foreign to them as if I got up here and started talking to you, about the theology of Hinduism or something. It's just like, what? Father? Why, he's not our, you go in there, you die. You get in the presence of God, you die. You drop dead. All of a sudden Jesus says, I'm bringing you a new revelation. I'm bringing you a new understanding that He is your Father. He's our Father. He's not mad at you. He's not out to get you. Listen, He wants to help you. He wants to lift you. He wants to bless you. He wants to make life good and grand and wonderful. He wants to give you strength and new ideas and wisdom. He wants you to be a blessing to mankind, blessing to those around you, a blessing to your family. He doesn't want you just getting by, barely getting by. That's not our Father. So I want to encourage you this morning. I know next week's Father's Day and I'm talking about the Father today, but we need to hear this. This is your Father. I'm bragging on your dad. This is our Pop. this is our Father. Amen. This is who He is, and so much more. Hallelujah. I want to do this. If you're here this morning, and I'm not trying to embarrass anybody, we won't ask anything about it, but if you're here this morning, I just feel prompted to go this direction. And maybe as I'm talking about the fatherhood of God this morning, I've been talking mainly about that. And you say, you know what? As you're talking about this, there's some old hurts that stirred up about my dad. Some hurts and things. So here's what I want you to do. If you will you just bow your heads, close your eyes just for a minute? Okay? And you say, Pastor, when you were talking about the Father, there were some things that came up. Maybe your father's already dead. Maybe he's already gone. But maybe there's some issues there, and that maybe that's hindering you from your relationship with the Heavenly Father. I'm not going to ask you to come up or anything, but if you just raise your hand, I want to pray for you. I just feel prompted. I want to pray for you. I'll be surprised if there's not anybody. Okay, there's some hands. Any more issues coming up? Okay, just keep your hand up and let me pray for just a moment. Father, you see these hands. And Lord, all of us, whether today or in times past, we've had to deal with issues, with things, oh God, that with our dads, Father, there might have been misunderstandings. There might even have been abuse or neglect or whatever it was. God, we just bring that to you now to be healed. We bring that to you, Lord, to be put under the blood. We bring that to you so that it can be swallowed up. Their shortcomings, their failures can be swallowed up. And forgiveness can be swallowed up in the unconditional love of God. Lord, we just give it to you now. We give the hurts. We give the feelings of rejection, oh God. Maybe even feelings of bitterness. We give them to you now. Lord, we release them. We release that debt that we feel our fathers owe us. Where they have wronged us, we forgive them right now. We give it to you, Lord. And Lord, we come to understand that, Father, that is not who You are. You are love unconditional. Father, I pray right now that there would be healing, that there would be, Father, the presence of God would fill those voids. Father, the Heavenly Father would take up and fill all of those places that were damaged by an earthly father. Heal, oh God. We release those hurts to You. We release them to You now and let forgiveness flow. We let forgiveness flow in our lives in the name of Jesus. If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, I've never made Jesus the Lord of my life. I'm not sure if I were to die today, I'm not sure if I would go to heaven, but I want to be sure. I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life. I want to pray for you. If that's you and you say, Pastor, I want to make Jesus Lord of my life this morning. I want to make Him Lord and Savior. You raise your hand. I'm going to pray for you anywhere in the building. Okay, I see a hand. Anyone else? Anyone else? This is your opportunity. Father, You see this hand. And Father, I pray that You will give him understanding, Lord, that You have said that whoever will call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, they shall be saved. And right now, as he opens his heart to You and he calls on You, Jesus, I add my faith and I pray for him that he will know You as Savior. That, Father, that he will receive the unconditional love and grace of God. That he will know that he knows that his sin is forgiven and that he is a child of God. That he belongs to You. He will always be Yours. You put Your seal upon him, O God. You put Your seal upon him. I thank You, Lord. You said if any man is in Christ, he's a brand new creature. I thank You. He's brand new. He's brand new. His sins are forgiven. The fear of judgment, O God, it is gone from him. He will know You as Abba Father. Thank You, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I thank You. Hallelujah. Well, will you stand on your feet?